Thank you, Lord. We better pray. Father, would you have your way tonight like we asked you last night? Like if Shannon would hand you a microphone tonight, you know the room. You know exactly what you'd say. Let that be the words that go forth tonight. We have no need to speak outside of what you desire. We're not looking for a good message, a good sermon. We want what you're saying to empower our lives. Thank you. In Jesus' name. Shoo. Okay, that was for me. Because I got a couple of things on my heart, and when I was praying, that the one thing just stayed really strong. So we're going to go there, okay? So especially a little bit your fault, just following the Lord and praying for the years. And we saw a lot of things, neat things last night happen when we prayed for the sick. Today we took some more testimonies, and we had a whole lot of new testimonies that popped up. It was fun. Who had fun hearing those testimonies? Just and then somebody's over there and they go, oh! And it's just fun. So tomorrow, I guess I have tomorrow with you guys yet. But we've been really talking about living your life in Him and why you're born again and why you're saved. And you have to understand that Jesus paid a price on that cross, and in His heart, He had a motive. Like, there's an intention. In Ephesians, it says about Paul was given a grace to make all see. And he's talking about the gospel, and he says, he talks about God's intent, to the intent that God's manifold wisdom would be made known to the powers and principalities that be through His people. So the intention of God was there. Look, so Jesus hangs on the cross, and he's our Redeemer. We sing He's our Redeemer, our Redeemer lives, and we talk about redemption, right? That word literally means like to be brought back, bought back to original value. So Jesus, He dies on a cross, and most of the time we emphasize to forgive our sin. Well, forgiving our sin is imperative to get us back to the Father. So yes, the mercy of God wants to forgive our sin, but there's so many major goals on the cross. Like, Jesus wants to restore us back to truth. Jesus wants to restore your life back to original purpose. Every bit as much as He's wanting to forgive your sin. The reason He wants to forgive your sin is to get you back on track and get you rolling. Yeah? He wants to wash you clean and empower you with who He is so you can live what you're here for. Let's not miss this. Let's not just make the cross about forgiveness. Now I'm forgiven and I'm clean to go to heaven someday. No. You're back on track. Like, He puts truth back on you, destiny back on you, His image back on you. He restores your identity. Like, He paid the price to make things new. Are you with me? You got to get this as a Christian. We really do, or we're going to use the gospel to get by instead of become what He paid for. The gospel is not a survival kit. We're not trying to hold on. He empowered us to become. He paid a price for us to be something that we were intended to be from the beginning. So, Jesus made Adam in His image. He told Adam and Eve to fill the earth, to multiply, to be fruitful, right? Each seed after its own kind. If you got image coming together with image, what are you producing? Come on, if you got the love of God coming together with the love of God, if you got the fullness of God coming together with the fullness of God, I'm talking about in the beginning, before the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, before everything died that He was made to be. I'm talking about God's plan before sin. See, we get so used to who we've been. Sometimes we don't look past that to see what's possible. We just think who we've been is the way it is. And the way that seems right to a man has eaten our lunch way too long. Seems right, but it never produces life. Well, you know, we're always just going to be, well, you know, stop selling yourself short and cheap when He paid such a price. Don't try to tell God what grace can and can't do. Your human experience isn't better than His potential in you. You You got Adam and Eve coming together, covering the earth with God's glory, reproducing after their own kind the image of God. It's the most beautiful picture. When you see Jesus going to the cross, you can hear in Isaiah, before it even happened, Isaiah spoke it out. Isaiah 53 is crystal clear. Isaiah 52 leads into it. Isaiah 52 says that he, meaning Jesus, was marred more than any of the sons of men. It's talking about Jesus' visage and image being marred beyond what any man was ever marred. Now you think about the barbaric, sadistic things that people have done to people. He was marred more than any man. He didn't just take 40 minus one lashes and some spikes in the hands. He was beat again and again and again till you couldn't tell who he was. You burn somebody on a stake. In the old days, witchcraft, they tie you to a pole and burn you. Now you tell me when the fire is over, you can tell who's hanging there. In Jesus' day, they would boil people in cauldrons of oil. You throw somebody in the deep fryer and tell me you're going to tell if they're man or woman when they come out. You burn somebody on a stake and tell me if they're male or female when it's over. He was marred more than any of the sons of men. There's a reason. You say, why did it have to be so terrible? When they were done beating him, he totally lost his appearance. You couldn't recognize who he was. It's scriptural. And there was nothing about his visage that we should desire. In his appearance. Here's why. You have to understand the cross is a parallel to the cross to everything. He died so you never will. He was beaten so you can live totally like undefeated. Yeah? There's just some beautiful. He was separated for a season on that cross from the Father. So you could forever be joined and made one. There's just a few. You don't have to have a favorite. I just happen to have a favorite that touches my heart. He was marred more than any of the sons of men. Why? Because when sin got done with Adam in the garden, he didn't look anything like he was created to be. He lost his appearance. And you couldn't recognize what he was. So Jesus came and lost his appearance to pay the price to get truth, identity, image, and destiny back on his people. Don't you take that lightly. This is not some Easter sentimental Easter story. It's not a crucifixion scene in movie. This is God coming in the flesh, Christ crucified. And Christ now in you, the hope of glory. Yeah? It's you getting back what was lost. It's you becoming what he always saw and said. It's the image being restored back to men. Don't you believe it's not possible? Don't you let somebody talk you around it and out of it. Don't you think this is heresy and blasphemy? It is the word of the Lord. Colossians 3:10 says, you put off the old man and his deeds, and you put on the new man. Yes. Guess who the new man is? He's renewed in knowledge according to the image of the one who created him. You think about the love of God. You think about, see, this is what we don't hear preachers say enough. Like, I never heard it in my life. You think about how much he thinks of you and your potential. To be beat beyond description and bear it. To take blow after blow after blow and not let the cry of his flesh change his heart. Come on, you think you've been through much. You ain't never been crucified for being perfect. You think you got issues and problems and complaints. You ain't never been done wrong for doing so right. You ain't never been beat beyond recognition for doing nothing wrong. And he never said a word except forgive them, Father. They don't have a clue. That was my translation. They know not what they do. You think about how intense the cross is. And I'm not being mean. You think I believe this with passion, and I'm going to let things bother me? People distract? He said, she said, carry weight? I want that to start sounding foolish to us. Because the things we've sold out for aren't worth a thing. What he paid for is what you're here for. So I'm just talking about redemption a little bit. He brought you back before sin, before the tree, before all that. He brought you back to that place before sin. The tree's still there. The serpent's voice is still speaking. He says, follow me. And that's where faith kicks in. So are you going to reason and eat of that tree and just keep asking for forgiveness? Reason, eat of that tree and keep going back to forgiveness? And even believe a theology that says you have to eat the tree all the time? Or are you going to follow him? He brought you back before that tree. I don't know how many people totally understand this. He sees you as if you've never sinned. It's totally scriptural. If he forgives you of all your sin, how much sin isn't forgiven? If he cleanses you of all unrighteousness, how can you be any unrighteous? If he makes you holy, blameless, and above reproach, where is the mark of sin over your life through the blood? If you're justified through the blood, justified, just as if you've never sinned, if you're vindicated, if you're acquitted, if you're marked innocent through the blood and blameless, if you cleanse me of all unrighteousness, what can possibly be left but righteousness? You cannot be both. You can't be forgiven and not completely forgiven. I want to show you something. Just, I turned to Romans 5. We'll probably get back there. Let's back up a little to John. I preach out of this a lot. This transformed me a long time ago. It made me intense like I am. It's not a Christmas story. It's not a baby in a manger. It's God in the flesh. Think about that. Slow down and think about that. God chose to come and sit inside a woman like you and I. We're in our mothers. And be born through her birth canal of a woman. He came as a man to fulfill what man failed. And restore the truth about our created value and purpose. And we turned it into a story that we get forgiven through praying a prayer and get to heaven when we die. Instead of come to life in him. You pray a prayer to go to heaven when you die and stay angry, frustrated, discouraged, confused, desperate. That is misunderstanding the gospel. And that is remaining something you were never created to be. We've studied a fallen man and we've said, this is us. And Jesus said, this is what you're created to be. How about following me? You're predestined to be conformed to my image. I'm the firstborn among many. If you believe in me, the things I do, you will do. Follow me. And then somebody's going to tell you you can't, and you're going to go, oh. Not today, friend. I'm not going to believe that. Don't tell me I can't walk in love. Don't tell me that I can't live free from unforgiveness. Don't tell me that I have to try to forgive, and forgiveness is hard. To the person that doesn't understand, that still has his own will and his own life set in place. For the person that's looking through his own eyes of what he deserves and what he should and shouldn't have. But when you let all that go, your view changes, your vision changes. You wake up every day and understand nobody owes you a thing. You have life for one reason, to be more like him. You're alive to shine. Mercy gave you another day to be like your father, not to be treated right. If you don't wake up to be treated right, you probably won't recognize if you're treated wrong. If you don't put expectations on people, you probably won't be failed. If your expectations from the Lord, you'll probably be fulfilled. If you don't lean on your own understanding, if you trust in no flesh, flesh probably won't fail you or be your reason for not being okay. And all of a sudden, you can't be a hurt Christian because it's unscriptural. It's unscriptural to be an offended Christian. There's nothing scriptural about it. We ought to just talk frank about this thing. It is completely unscriptural to be disheartened, discouraged, in unforgiveness, full of anger and animosity. He said, you're to put it off yourselves. It's not an altar call. You put off anger. Why? Because it's not even about you anymore. You have nothing to be angry towards. And if you're sure you have a right to be that way, and you say, yeah, but you don't know what I've been through, and you don't know what they did to me, and you're telling me, and you wouldn't be, and if you were in my shoes, you'd be hurt too. If you can't put that language in God's mouth and make it fit, and get him to say the same thing you're saying and have it fit, then you probably ought to get it out of your mouth. Could you picture God handpicking one of you out, calling the 24 elders and say, guys, can you just spend a little time and minister me today a little bit? I'm just a little taken back by so-and-so. You know, they sing loud, they raise their hands, they wave those flags, and their lips surely do praise me, but you know their hearts are so far from me. And when I look at their life, it just grieves me. They're so trapped in religion, and I'm just full of just this hypocrisy, and I'm tired. I just can't stand to watch anymore, guys. I need ministry because I feel like my heart's failing, and I just don't even know where I stand towards them anymore. When I hear their name or think of their name, I just feel like, ugh. Could you picture God doing that? Then why is it so normal when we do? Why do we justify it enough to make it work? Why do we find the people that agree with us to support us? Why doesn't somebody rise up and say, that can't be the Lord, because look what it's doing to your heart. And the fruit it's producing doesn't look like him. That's what a friend will tell you. People come to me for counsel and they say, listen, can we talk? Yeah, let's talk. Listen, I just got to talk to you, man. I've just been getting so hurt. I've been going through some stuff and I'm so hurt. And I say, well, listen, I can tell right now you're going to lay out the situation and tell me who hurt you and why. Before you get into all that, let me ask you a question. I will. I'll just cut you right off and ask you this. I'm puzzled. I need to know why you're so hurt. Like, why do you have such a grid for being hurt no matter what they did? Why is hurt in your vocabulary? Why is it okay? That's what I ask people when I counsel. I don't even get asked to counsel a whole lot anymore. Did you know what people get tricked into doing? They tell you all the bad stuff that somebody did so you understand why they're feeling the way they're feeling. You can get caught up in that thing on social media, with friends. You could just get into that saga, that soap opera mentality. And next thing you know, you got every permission for being not like Jesus. That right there tells you, you can't be cool. Because you're finding a permission to be something less than he is. And he made you for his image and said, follow me. So why are you following that? Come on, you just need sometimes, every once in a while, somebody to smile gentle and talk like that. Yay. See, because I didn't come here mad. I'm not mad at you. I didn't come to spank you. I didn't come here. I didn't say, I got to fly all the way to Utah to correct these people. I came to tell you who you are, to tell you why he came, to tell you that you have qualified through him. You have been made complete through him. I came to tell you the good news, that you are lacking no good thing, except maybe some understanding or some yielding to some things. But you have been given everything through the Son. It is the Father's good pleasure, not grudgingly, good pleasure to give you the kingdom. It's good. So you got to get this and say, you know what? Jesus came to redeem me, restore me, to put me back into original value, to put his life in me, his nature in me, his ways in me. In the Old Testament, his ways weren't my ways. In the New Testament, we're one. He has seated me in heavenly place in Christ Jesus, and the Christ in me is the hope of glory, and the things he did, I'm called to do. Man, he said, I'm one with him. He's the expressed image of the Father, the outring of his brightness and the expressed image of who he is. And I'm one with him and he's in me. Come on, that is not presumptuous. That's not heresy. That's the word of the Lord. I want you to see something amazing in John 20. It's just amazing. Because in Genesis 1:26, what did God say? Let us make man. So where did man come from? Mud puddle? The bug that evolved into a something and eventually a monkey and then a man. It's just so weird, all those theories. You say, well, it's pretty weird that God just breathed into dirt. No, he's God. That's what makes him amazing. He breathes into dirt with vision and purpose and heart. And a man stood up. Ah! Now, we say we believe that, but I wonder. Because then when something else happens, you know, you got boo-boo, you got a little pain and it's real, ah. Come on, I wish we'd get a revelation. He breathed into dirt and a man stood up. I remember the first time that hit me a long time ago, like hit me. And I don't use it as a method because it hit me. It was a moment of revelation. It was a little girl, she was 14. She had her jaw sealed shut with calcium deposits from a thing called TMJ. And her bone became one solid mass and there was no joint in her jaw. Because of her growth plate that's in her age, they had to wait till she was 18 to manually break it and try to put a artificial joint in there. In the meantime, this one popped out of joint. She's talking like her jaw's wired, and she's sipping broth through a straw for the next 4 years. That's real. That's real. Enter the gospel and things can change. Not making light of it, it's real, it's costing her, it hurts. Sometimes we don't see things just shift and change. But like you said, which I agree 1,000%, we ought to go for it. We ought to get our hands on as many people as we can. Something I also heard Randy Clark say, he said it a long time ago when I was hanging out with him. He said, I'm convinced of this. If we just pray for as many people as we can, we'll just see more things. I'm like, yeah. We always make it about what didn't happen and write a book and decide God's will. What about going for it and building on what he's doing? What about never letting go of faith? Yeah? Yeah. I was right in the middle of a story. Yeah, I know. I'm just not sure if I should finish it. It's just fun, so I was telling it. I'm just wondering if I should finish it or if it's taking precious time from me. So I was just listening. I'll be quick with you. I went to pray for her. Moms are great. Moms are the best. But what this mama did, she did like most mamas would do. She's thinking, okay, this guest speaker is going to pray for my girl. This is crunch time. This is the moment. It's either going to happen or it isn't. And I step up to pray for her, which I don't do much anymore. In that season, I did way too much of that. It got me in a lot of trouble, actually. She starts crying hard right before we pray. It's just emotions. You understand it. And you're like, oh, bless her heart. And you're going to pray with this girl with all your heart, right? And right when you're ready to pray for her, it's the most serious moment. It's ridiculous. The girl's got tears in her eyes. She's 14. She can hardly talk. She's talking like this. She's just talking like this. And she's trying to tell me all about, and her teeth aren't even moving. They're just stuck together. She sticks her straw in her and drinks broth. Because of her growth platelets, they can't do anything. They're waiting till she's 18. That's tough. She's out of all her sports activities. They told me she doesn't play anything anymore because, and she's in a lot of pain because there's so much pressure on this sealed up calcium deposited bone that the other joint is popped out. You get it? I'm ready to pray for her. It's the most serious moment. And all of a sudden this thought comes to me from the Lord. It was just so real. I got silly and I giggled. It wasn't a weird ha 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 howling hyena laugh. It was just, I just started chuckling. And mama's looking at me like, I really don't see anything funny right now. But it wasn't a ha ha funny. It was a wow funny. This thought came to me. If God breathed into dirt, and a man stood up, he can fix her jaw. And I got silly. And I just said to her, honey, if God breathed into dirt and a man stood up, he can fix your jaw. Now, I haven't traveled over the world and lined up all the sick and said that to everybody. It was just that moment. It was just for that moment. It was just a gifting. It was just ding, 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 ding. Now, that revelation has helped me a lot in situations. But I looked at her and I laughed. I took two fingers. I'll never forget it as long as I live. Well, I'll probably never forget it forever because it's on the ticker tape of heaven. Because it brought glory to his name. Oh, it'll never go away. Oh, wait, I'm having a moment. 14 years old, precious little thing. Your heart goes out to her. It's not hard to feel a lot of stuff. Put your two fingers on the side of her jaw and you say, if God, you know, he can fix your jaw. And you put your fingers there, and as soon as you touch her, you don't say a word. You hear through your fingers. It was so weird. It was like, and I went, God just broke your jaw. That's exactly what I said. God just broke your jaw. She went, and tears just flooded her eyes. I said, does it hurt? I said, why are you crying? She said, because I felt it. I said, you felt it break? She said, yeah. I could feel it vibrate through my fingers. It just, and I said, well, honey, same giggle. If he broke your jaw, he's fixing it. He didn't break it to break it. Just open your mouth. We never prayed. Just open your mouth. Wow. Instantly. Never prayed. Revelation. Boom. Mama is a mess. So that was a Saturday night. They don't do Sunday church. So the following week, I'm doing church at our church. And it was my week to preach. I was preaching. And I'm there preaching my great sermon. It had to be good. And I looked out, way out in here, and I just spotted the face of that little girl from the meeting the week before. I just saw her face, and right beside her's mama. And they're just listening to me preach, thinking, this is great. They just love me. And I said, right in the middle of my great sermon, I went, hey. And everybody's like, what is he doing now? And she went, and I said, that's exactly what I did. And she went, I said, get up here. She come running up with her mama. Her mama's crying already. She tells the sweetest story. She said, God is so good. She told about her jaw and what happened, and everybody's freaking out, which we should. And then she said, God is so good. She said, you prayed for me Saturday night and it was amazing. And Monday I went to school and she said, I've been sipping broth. And she said, but I went to get the menu. And she said, I looked and here it's like something I absolutely do not like and don't want to eat. So I glanced at the alternative menu, the alternate menu, and I said, oh, that'll work. And all of a sudden I looked and there was this little 4-inch corn on the cob. And she said, I sat there and thanked the Lord and just ching, ching. God is so good. One little revelation. I mean, sometimes I know we don't see that bang, pop. Sometimes I think we struggle. I think our minds, our hearts are so, ooh, and we feel for them, right? It's just, there's no amount of that's going to fix her jaw. It's just not. You don't see Jesus doing all that. You don't see Jesus going, rise, take your bed and walk. Oh, yes. Oh. I just don't think we're quite in the place that he was. So we probably should stop tossing our theological ideas around based on outcome. And we should probably let him be the truth and follow him. Probably be a good idea. I don't think he said, stretch forth your hand. Oof, yes, God. Ah, you're so awesome. You did it. No, he's one with the Father. There's authority. He sees it. Stretch forth your hand. He's not going, oh, yeah. There's such an element of surprise with us. It's not just an honor thing. It's an element of surprise. It's a, ooh, yeah. Because you prayed for 10 people and you didn't see much and all of a sudden somebody says they're healed and you go, really? There's no pain? Come on, I've been around us a lot. I've been around me. We're learning and growing if we don't keep changing our mind. We don't keep changing what we believe based on what we've experienced. But if we look at his life and settle on truth, we'll get there. If we stop arguing and fighting because we're in pain, frustration, loss. Let's stop being enemies. Let's stop defending the loss of someone and the insult of, what are you saying? I didn't have faith. You can hear that and nobody's even saying it. Sometimes, unfortunately, people say it. I'm sorry they say that. The sick person has every right to look at the person. The person praying can't say, well, honey, you just need to get more faith. No, the sick person should say, well, you said Christ is in you. How about giving him to me? So it's a dead-end street to go back and forth and blame shift, and they need faith. Well, they should have. Well, they didn't have no anointing. Well, they stop. Let's just throw that all away. And let's get in this level playing ground and just keep going after what he accomplished because he's good. Yeah? Yeah. Let me just show you something here. Oh, my goodness, where's time go? I preach out this a lot. I want you to Genesis 1:26. Let us what? In our image. In verse 27, what do you do? So God made man in his image, both male and female. In his likeness, he made them. Both male and female in his likeness. So women, like common belief, you're not here. The Bible doesn't teach you here to serve the man. Your highest goal is his image. You're here for his likeness. The only reason you make the man complete because you're an avenue of expression and flow of love. You don't make the man complete because he had deficit. He had nowhere to go with who he was. Hello? God makes man in his image and has the same problem he had before he made man. He makes man to express himself and reveal himself on the earth, but now where's the man go? Without the woman, they can't multiply. Without the woman, he can't. There's no even avenue of expression. What's he going to do? Forgive the zebra? Show mercy to the elephant? He looks around. He says, man, everybody has somebody comparable. This guy doesn't have anybody comparable. What's he do? He puts him in a deep sleep and reaches into him. He doesn't make another lump of clay. You're not a separate lump of clay, women. He reaches into the fullness of God in the man, the completeness of the image of God, the created value of everything he was. He reaches into that man who is a finished and complete work. He reaches into the man and brings out what was one so they could be two, so two could be one. That's phenomenal. He didn't do it because he's lonely. He did it because he's fulfilled. You think he made the woman because man was lonely and he needed a hookup? That would be, then God would be empowering all this craziness we experience today. No, he's pure and holy. To know the love of Christ is to be filled with all the fullness of God. There's nothing incomplete about that. Think about how people hook up today. Not getting any younger, lonely. Wow, he likes me. Wow, she's really hot. Wow, I'd love to have some kids. I think he'll do. Kind of like his chin. There's some weird stuff going on. And then there's, I love you, do you love me? And what your dead giveaway is, you don't love, you need. None of that was from the beginning. I tell people, I say, look, if there's a woman in a man's life scripturally, from the beginning, it ought to be because of the fullness of God in the man. Not because she's hot. Not because he's lonely or she's lonely or insecure or honored that he wants her. If there's a woman in a man's life, according to Genesis, it's because there was fullness in the man. I think only in that place could he love her like Christ loves the church. I think men only in that place were ready to love her like Christ loves the church. I guess if we don't have that place, maybe we just need her because she gives us something we need. Don't sell cheap, women. You're more than cooking meals and scratching itches. Don't be reduced. Don't compromise. I had a young lady tell me one time, well, there's no man out there you're describing. The one you're describing isn't out there. And she was frustrated. She kept slipping. She was young. She just slept with a boy and came to me crying. She just slept with a boy and she knew it wasn't her answer. And she went to bed defiled in her bed at night and cried. And she woke up and felt far from the Lord and felt dirty and felt all kinds of things because of her convictions. But yet she was driven by this needy thing. She came to me crying. She said, I know what you're going to tell me, Pastor. And she snapped on me. She said, you're going to tell me about this man? And she described the man that I've described to her a dozen times. And she said, the thing you have to realize, he is not out there. That man you're describing is not out there. And I'm like, so I just gently reached across the picnic table and I squeezed her elbow. And as she was freaking out, I kept squeezing a little tighter and tighter. And she realized I was squeezing tight. And she just stopped and got her attention. I leaned in with the most gentle voice, but full of passion. I said, so what? Because he's not out there, you compromise, you sell cheap, you defile your conscience and wake up ashamed over and over? Or do you position yourself to be a prize to be won and make a draw on Christ in a man? Or do you just keep selling cheap and get on the half off rack? Ooh, a little uncomfortable in here. I feel it. No, I feel it. It's nervous. I can feel the atmospheres. People are nervous. So what do? Compromise truth to meet need or get fulfilled in him so your needs change? What do? Because you can't find somebody in love with Jesus. You just find somebody that's kind of in love with Jesus and pay a price for that. Or do you stand your ground and be complete and secure in him and never enter into relationship because you're needy? You enter into a relationship because you're fulfilled. What would that look like? If a man knows who he is and he joins with a woman who knows who she is and they're not driven by need and they're both in love with the King. I bet that sounds like the beginning. What would that conception look like? What would that baby be? Oops. Yeah? Woohoo! Yeah. Man, the gospel just stirs me up. I think God had a really good vision from the beginning. I think man sinned and fell and lost that thing, and then we muddied it up all the more even. And sometimes I think we compromise and we make excuses for the things we need and want and desire and try to blend the gospel into who we are instead of become what he says. And all of a sudden you incorporate him into your life instead of him becoming your life. And all of a sudden he's part of your confession or part of your belief system instead of living from the inside. You are not the CEO of Jesus Incorporated. I was in Arkansas preaching like this, and that's what he told the college boy that drove home from the service crying. He got so shook up because of where his life was. And he's driving home on an Arkansas road. He told me this with tears. He was shaking. He had an encounter. I love it. I love when I can just preach and then they leave and Holy Spirit just follows them out the door. It's like, it's so awesome. You say, what about follow-up, brother? Oh, they're being followed. He's in heavy pursuit. This young kid, he's 20 years old. He's driving. He's a college kid. He's driving down the road and the Lord comes in his car. He said, like, Jesus is in his car. He said, it was like the air left. He said, the presence of the Lord, it was a holy thing. He pulled over. He was overwhelmed. God did it on purpose. He overwhelmed him, and he pulled his car off the road. And he's sitting in his car. Lord, he said, you have been the CEO of Jesus Incorporated, and you are fired. That's what he heard. He told me he thinks it was audible. I'm like, that is amazing. Fired. Yay. Took away his job. Because he made the job himself. He was self-appointed. He never got hired for that. He created that position. Jesus said, you are fired. And the kid went, ding, ding, ding. He's like surrendering in his car. He comes to the service the next night. Can I talk to you? I said, what, man? It was so awesome. He was still... I'm messing up so bad. You know this Holy Ghost anesthesia, right? Yeah. It's so I can keep just... And then you're like, are you bleeding? God's just cutting out your heart, trimming it, sticking it in. And you're like, and you don't even know what's going on. And you leave here and something's changed. That's how good God is. That's how good God is. John 20, I got to get here. I got to do this. Oh, so redemptive, so redemptive. John 20, in verse 15, Jesus said to Mary, why are you crying? You know the story, right? Jesus is in the tomb. He died. He's on the cross. They saw him die. They're crushed. These guys are crushed. You'd have been crushed. I'd have been crushed. We'd have denied Jesus. We'd have ran for our lives. We're not making fun of them. We get it. Whew. What a day. Best thing that ever happened to him. And now he's beat beyond description, hanging on a cross, and he dies. And it's like, they got to be numb. They don't even know, like, what? I mean, they were so fearful of death. Like, he would tell them, I'm going to die. They're going to be, I'm going to be beat, turned over to the hands of sinful men. They're going to be persecuted. The Son of Man is going, and he's going to die at the hands of these men. And they're like, they heard, die? And then it always puzzled me. He'd say, but on the third day, he will rise. He's telling them he's going to die, but then he'd say, on the third day, I'm going to rise. And nobody ever said in Scripture, about the four times it's mentioned, he said, nobody ever said, the several times it's mentioned, wait a minute, you're going to rise? They all said, you're going to die? And they honored death above his word concerning life. Because death was their master. And they were held captive and prisoner by it. And Hebrews 2 says that you're no longer held captive and prisoner to death, that he sets you free, and all your life you were held subject and captive by it. How many times we pray because we're afraid of death? How many times we get a terminal diagnosis and we become terminal and we pray because we're dying instead of promised life and victory and destiny and fruitfulness? How many times do we get tricked into praying to survive instead of shine? Next thing you know, we're just praying to make it instead of manifest him. Man, this is good preaching. I got to preach good if you give me your mic and a mic and put me in front of your house. You know what's happening here, right? Mary is so committed. Mary, she loved him. She was delivered by him. He was the best thing that ever happened and ever could be. She can't let that go. She knows he's dead, but she knows he's on the other side of that rock. She ain't afraid to die. She ain't afraid to say she knows him. She gathers up some anointing and stuff, oils and spices. I don't even know how she thought she was going to get behind that big old rock. But she was going to go there because she knew he was there. Mary, some of you women I know are just like that. Like she would have just probably stood against that rock and just put her cheek tight on the rock and just stood there and cried and remembered him. And that's as close as she could get, so that's where she'll be. What a heart, Mary. You got to love Mary. Them disciples, they wasn't coming. I know it's all speculation, but I could imagine and have fun with it. Like, well, why are you going to the tomb? He's dead. Why don't you just get over it? He's dead. But he's there. But he's dead. But he's there. Well, you can't get into the rock anyway. How are you even going to get in? You can't see him. You're just going to, well, if you guys would come and help me move the rock. Maybe. Nope. I mean, that probably didn't happen, but probably could have happened if the conversation started. Woman, why are you weeping? This is Jesus. She didn't recognize him. Who are you seeking? Verse 15. She's supposing him. Oh, you got it up there? Good deal. She's supposing him or thinking him to be the gardener, said, sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you've put him and I will get him. Is she amazing or what? You want to flip the verse for me? You just want to roll with me? I'll just read it right off the screen if you want to roll with me. Jesus said to her, Mary, now it's intimate. Mary, something happened to Mary's eyeballs. When he said Mary, it's just like the two guys on the road to Emmaus. When they broke the bread, their eyes were opened and they went, oh, and he went, oop, gone. That was the Lord. Sure was. No wonder our hearts were burning. Ah, that was the Lord. Mary, ah. Now be real with me. Don't turn this into a story. This happened to a woman named Mary. This really happened. This happened to a lady that loved him, that watched him die and saw him beat beyond description. And now he's standing in front of her. And he calls her by name and her heart recognizes him. And she goes, oh, Rabboni. Could you imagine the emotion? Could you imagine? This is better than any movie line you've ever seen in your life. Jesus is standing there alive when she knows he's dead, and he calls her by name, Mary, and she goes, Rabboni. I don't think she went, ah, Rabboni, and ran the other way. She goes, Rabboni. She's coming. She's coming. Watch. Next verse. Watch. Wait. We missed something. Oh, there it is. I'm sorry. Rabboni, Jesus said, do not hold on to me. What's that tell you? What did she do? Rabboni! Don't hold me. New King James says, do not cling to me. I picture her in midair. She's coming. All I can tell you is she's coming hard. She's like, I lost you once. You ain't getting away again. And if you go, I'll be holding on. We'll go together. But you are not getting away from me. He said, don't cling to me, Mary. Why? For I have not yet ascended to the Father. Whew. What's he saying? He's saying on the cross it was finished. The beating necessary that I had to take to pay the price for man to be redeemed is done. But now the best part's yet to come. He just rose from the dead. What's his highest agenda? Where does he need to get to quickly? He needs to get to the Father to take his own blood into the mercy seat of heaven. He needs to walk through the priestly role and represent all men to God and represent God to all men and be a high priest forever. Don't hold on to me, Mary. Love to hang out. Love you, girl. Love to chat. Be awesome to just catch up with you. But there's something I gotta do, really, really gotta do. So don't hold on to me. I haven't ascended to the Father yet. He hasn't taken his blood and made peace between God and man. He hasn't brought redemption fully because the man's blood, Jesus, hasn't touched the mercy seat yet. It's Hebrews 9. You can read all about it. If he doesn't want her to hold him because he hasn't ascended to the Father, why is he going to the Father? To chat with him? To take his blood. How do you know? You'll see. Let's just do this. Look, I have not yet ascended to my Father. Now, where's the disciples? They're back in the room for fear of the Jews. Ain't nobody with Mary. They wasn't at the cross either. A couple of them showed up there somewhere around the end, probably. But go instead and tell my low-life, two-faced, tail-tucked, say one thing, do another, hypocritical, blaspheming. Wait a minute, it doesn't say none of that. I don't know what translation I read one time. Don't hold on to me, I haven't yet ascended to the Father. Go instead to my boys, my brothers. My brothers, it's a covenant term, it's family. What's he saying? You tell them boys, I haven't changed my mind about them. Nothing's changed, they're my brothers. See, if Jesus was us, it's just another hurting pastor that needs restored. Who's laid down his life for the people and they didn't appreciate it. Who tried to build something nobody would support. And now he can't even get up and try to minister anymore because he can't trust nobody. We make facilities to restore pastors like that instead of teaching them why they could never, never, ever have to be like that. On the night Jesus was betrayed, his idea of responding was laying down his life and taking the bread and the cup. On the night he was betrayed. You better make sure on the night you're betrayed that you aren't living betrayed. Don't think you're being spiritual because you call a friend, tell them all about it, and ask them for prayer. On the night you're betrayed, make sure you're not crying and feeling betrayed. Make sure you've already passed the body and passed the cup because you've already laid down your life. Go tell my brothers, I'm ascending to my Father. You look up the word Father there, it means to come forth from. I'm ascending to the one I came forth from and the one you came forth from. What's he making us? Family. Woohoo! To my God. The word God there means source of life. I'm going to my source of life and your source of life. Father, we came forth from the source of life, Father God.
You get it?
Father God, I just want to thank you. You ever hear somebody pray, Father God? Sometimes we turn it into like the only thing we pray. Like, Father God, I thank you, Father God, that Father God right now, Father God, we, Father God. See, you all heard that. So if we're going to say it a lot, we might as well know what we're saying. Every time you say Father God, you're saying, I came forth from the source of life. That's pretty intimate. So you wake up in the morning, Father God, my life is on purpose, not an accident. It's not a mistake. I'm sorry, you're so good. They're really good. They need some kind of award. They're doing good, whoever they are back there. I'm ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God. We're taking back your award. I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. I am really messing up tonight. I'm just kidding. We love you. Thank you. To my God and your God, Mary Magdalene went to the disciples with the news. I saw the word news. With the news, I have seen the Lord. I bet that went over big. And she told them that he had said these things to her. And Jesus came. This is radical. Doors are closed. They're in a room. He must have just walked in, right? Jesus came and stood among them. What are they doing? Interceding, praying, and calling forth his kingdom? They're hiding for fear of their own lives, even though at the supper table they said, we'll die for you. He walks into the middle of them doing the total opposite, and his best words are, peace be unto you. Not, what do you think? What in the world are you doing? Having so much fun. On the evening, the first day of the week, when the disciples were together and the doors were locked for fear of the Jewish leaders. See why they were there? Jesus came and stood among them and said, peace be with you. Why did he say peace be with you? Because he just came from the Father. And why was he there? He just made peace through his blood. And Romans 5:1 just came to pass. We now have peace with God through the Lord Jesus Christ, being justified by faith. First thing out of his mouth, watch, peace be with you. After he said this, he showed him his hands, because they're pretty freaked out. They're like, we would have been too. They touch his hands, they touch his side, and the disciples were what? Overjoyed when they saw the Lord. That means they realized it was Jesus. Now watch. So as soon as they realize it's Jesus, what's the next thing out of his mouth? Watch. Peace be with you. Peace to you from the Father through my blood. You have peace with God. Now watch what she says. Peace be with you. What's that peace mean? He says, look, I know how you feel right now, and I know you're a little uncomfortable, and you realize you ran for your own lives, and you said you died for me, and none of you did that. I know right now you're very conscious of your sins. Do you understand how they had to feel when they realized he's standing there the way they've all handled this? What about Peter denying, cursing, don't even know the man? And now the one he said he doesn't even know, he's standing right in front of him. Probably a little uncomfortable in the soul. Probably a little nervous. And Jesus says, peace be with you. Why? Because he understands. So now this is where it gets really good. And with that, look what he did. Well, he said, peace be with you as the Father. Now you find me a limit on this. As the Father has sent me, for God so. As the Father has sent me, for God so that he. As the Father sent me, I am sending you. Remember why he made man in the garden? He made man for his. And God is. Love. So he made man to love, not need love, be love. When man got cut off from the source of love in the garden, he became in need of love. He went from being love to needing love. You and I were born into needing love. And you must be born again. We teach born again a ticket to heaven instead of a restoration back to becoming love. The goal of our instruction is love, not heaven someday. The purpose of the commandment is love, not everlasting life. He breathed on them and said, so as the Father sent me, I am sending you. And he breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. Why'd that happen right there? Was Holy Spirit lost in Adam when he ate the tree? Did he lose that seal for the day? Was he separated from God through sin? He just took care of sin, and he just did what God did to Adam when Adam came up out of that dirt. The redemption of man is right here. He brought man back to original value. How did God make man in the garden? Why do you think he just breathed? Because his blood is speaking better things. And he's seeing man as if he's never sinned, so he's starting over day one. Let us make man in our image. Genesis 1:26, watch. As the Father sent me, so I send you. Do you hear it? Yeah. It's Genesis 1. Yeah. Receive Holy. He could have got charismatic. He could have just said, fill, Philip, catch. fill. He holds all things together by the word of his power. He doesn't have to breathe on them to be filled with Holy Spirit, received with Holy Spirit. He sealed them for that day. He put the Spirit of God back inside of them. They're now born again because his blood is on the mercy seat. And God doesn't see them for sin. God sees them for their created value and purpose and destiny. So he's the Lamb of God who... Okay. So he takes it away. Why are we still talk about it? Why don't we just become sons now? And if we bump into an expression of a moment of sin, run to God, not from God, because the day of fig leaves and hiding is over. Run to God and thank him for changing you, empowering you, and putting character in you, because you know that's not who you're created to be, and that's not your desire. And God, thank you for making me wiser and sharper. God, I appreciate your love in my life. So never again are you guilty, condemned, or ashamed, because you're in Christ Jesus. You get it? Let's go back. As the Father sent me, oh, perfect, thank you. You're getting your reward. As the Father sent me, I am sending you. And with that, he breathed on them and said, receive Holy Spirit. Now watch, if you forgive the sins of anyone's sins, their sins are forgiven. If you do not forgive, they're not forgiven? Bummer. It sounds like he just gave them permission to not forgive. But did he? Do you have any scriptural reference where you're allowed to retain sin and not forgive sin and not see men for what they're created for? Or righteous judgment, don't read a book by the cover, don't look with outward appearance, but inward. Here's what he's saying. Peace be to you, as the Father has sent me, for God so... I'm sending you. With that, he breathed on them and said, go ahead and live as if sin never was and be my people. And if you love them the way I have just loved you, surely they'll see the way to forgiveness. If you don't love them the way I've just loved you, how will they ever know the way to me when you're the body of Christ? You get it? And somehow we think it's okay to have issues and things that are never in his heart. And somehow we've allowed life to teach us instead of the giver of it. And all of a sudden the way that seems right to a man that never produces life takes the place of truth, which makes us free. Come on, that is just solid, straight up gospel, reading it right off the wall. Yeah? Let us make man in our image. As the Father sent me, I send you. you forgive their sins, they'll know the way to forgiveness. If you don't forgive their sins, how will their sins ever be forgiven? When you represent my love, the body of Christ, Christ in you, the hope of glory, the whole earth filled with his glory, the Christ in you, the hope of, the whole earth shall be filled with, the Christ in you, the hope of that glory. It's not a manifestation except of his people rising up in this truth. It's not just God breathing his glory all over the nations. It's you going into the nations with his heart, his love, empowered by his grace. You just think about what this room can do. Just this room right here, the faces I'm looking at. If you begin to walk in love, you begin to stop along the way and pray and encourage and impart. You listen to God and you get a word in due season for him or her, and you multiply that by the faces I'm looking at. You times that by 6 months. And then you keep living that for another 4 months by the number of faces I'm looking at. And one and two and three touches here and there, multiplied by the faces I'm looking at, multiplied by a year. And all of a sudden, the kingdom of God is as if a man is scattering seed. And some sow, and some water, and it's God who gives the increase. Some of us reap where we haven't even sowed, but we all rejoice together.
You get it? It's really good.
So redemption, it's what it's all about. It's really what I thought I was going to preach, like strong, but I went where I went, and I feel really excited about it. I actually feel like this was really where we should have been. I had some other intentions, but I will close with this. There's been a real goodness of God touching and healing and changing things in this setting this weekend. It's been sweet. And I feel like he wants to continue to do that for a few moments. In fact, if I could have somebody that just wants to play soft for me, whether it's guitar strings or keys, I would take that. That would be awesome. Thank you.
You and me and Holy Ghost are plenty. He like puts us over the top.
I don't usually, when we pray for the sick Friday, remember I said we don't, you know, aren't going to have any music up here? It's just because when you're walking through the Walmart parking lot, you don't have these guys in the back of your bed of your pickup. Sometimes you just have your nerves, your feelings, your second guesses, and their face looking at you. And it's not really that atmospheric. It's just, well, you better believe. But right now, I think this will be amazing to just have her play. Listen, there's something I do. I've done it for years. I do it all the time. I do it in settings like this. I feel okay to do it in my heart. There's people that'll fit this description. And I promise you it would be a good time tonight to say, you know what, I'm going to separate myself from that thing because it's not who I am. There's a thing called redemption. It's brought back to original value. Remember I said I was on Romans 5? I'll read it real quick for you. Sometimes it's just good to read. It keeps people happy. You can quote things and people say, well, he didn't even read out of his Bible. And I'm like, you weren't listening. In fact, I don't know if you noticed, I don't say a whole lot of sentences without quoting a whole lot of scripture, because it ties all the sentences together to where there's no way for the yell butt to even survive.
Yay.
For when we were still without strength, Romans 5, 6, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man would one dare to die, and yet perhaps for a good man, someone would dare die. But God demonstrates his own love towards us, that in while we were still sinners, that means you're not anymore. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Now watch, I love the much mores. Much more than, having now been justified, just as if we've never sinned, by his blood, we shall be saved, healed, delivered, protected, preserved. That word is sozo. We shall be saved from wrath through him. Rarely would somebody die for a good man. Scarcely would one dare even die for a righteous man. And God demonstrated his love while we were yet sinners. Christ died for the ungodly. And much more, now that he died and paid this price, since he lives, how much more shall we be saved from wrath through him? Remember the old song we sing? Because he lives, he's alive. And here's what I've learned in my life. There's a thing called guilt, condemnation, shame. There's a thing called misunderstanding of scripture. See, we say, well, you know, you made your bed, you got to sleep in it. I challenge that all the time. No, no, no. Wait a minute. Depends where your heart is, how you've repented, where you've responded. Like when you repent from something, you're clean. It's just as if you've never sinned. When your heart's sorry, if you could go back and do it over and you would, but you can't, that means you're not the person anymore. God will never judge you for where you've been. He'll judge you for what you've become. It's scriptural. So to say you made your bed, you got to sleep in it. I think he made your bed. I think you ought to get out of yours and get in the one he made you. There's clean sheets in that bed. And there ain't no stains. There ain't no little pee marks. That was me growing up. I was a serious bedwetter. It was nasty. I always had them little pee marks. Them little bad boo-boo marks ain't in your bed if it's the one he made for you. You got to get out of the one you've been sleeping in and get in the one he made for you. Now, here's the truth. Here's the truth. We're saved from wrath through him because he lives. So let's just say you've been into promiscuity. Let's just say you went through a season of heavy drinking. Let's just say you were a profuse smoker for years. Let's just say you put a dirty needle in your arm. And let's just say because of those mistakes, because of those decisions, because of those choices, because of that lifestyle, it came and it bit you and it marked you and it put something in you for in exchange. Let's just say that you have hepatitis, or let's just say that you have an STD or HPV, or let's just say that you have HIV, or let's just say that your kidneys are damaged because of the way you lived, and let's just say your lungs aren't doing like they could because you put a lot of things in there that should never be in there. And let's just say that you say, man, I've come a long way. Man, I used to. Man, there was a time if I knew what I know now, I wouldn't have been where I was then. There's so many people that are there. There's so many people living in that place that say, man, if I only saw then what I see now, I wouldn't have been where I was then. But you can't go back. You can't change it. You can't rewrite the book. You can't take back your actions. You can't take back your words. You can't go replay the night and do it over. And God knows. And the only thing we can do about it if we don't have an answer is regret. But we can't regret because Bible teaches regret produces death. So what do we do? We realize that you can never change where you've been. And you can never change what you've done, but who you are can change. And when who you are changes, God himself, through scripture, will never judge you for where you've been. He will judge you for what you've become. So if that's true, if God will never judge you for where you've been, then how come where you've been is still judging you? If mercy triumphs over judgment, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things pass away. Behold, all things become new. Why is that thing still there? Maybe because nobody challenged it. Maybe because nobody attacked it with the gospel. Maybe because we believed we've earned it and deserved it. Maybe because we said we should have known better, and this is the price I have to pay. He paid the price you have to pay. And he took the wrath of the Father. I've seen this so, you see how aggressive I am right now? Because I've seen this so much in my life. I've seen God just wash away hepatitis. I've seen God just wash away STDs that are incurable. I got emails, HIV. I don't know him personally. Why would they take the time to do that and ask me for nothing in return? I know two people personally in my town completely healed of HIV. Why? Because he's a redeemer. I know countless people that were cutters and they don't have any of their scars anymore. Why? Because God made them new. Because they came to a place and said, why did I do that to myself? I was so numb. I was so empty. I was so alone. I was so looking for something, but now I found it. And I sure wish I didn't do this to me. And God says, okay, I'll judge you as if you didn't. I've seen people burned and marked. I saw a girl in New York with 100 check marks carved in her forearm by a razor blade, marking off the days of gloom and despair. 100 check marks through heroin addiction, prostitution, dishonored and devalued, just checking off the days. And when she left the order, she didn't have one single mark. You say, brother, I don't believe that. I understand there's a whole lot of unbelief in the body of Christ, but it doesn't change him. Yeah. If you're here tonight and you've marked yourself by the way you've decided to live somewhere before today, and your heart knows better now, and you say, you know, that isn't me. You might actually say, that is me, but I want change. I'm still bound, but I want free. And if God would help me, I would love to go free. You might be carrying a mark of yesterday's abuse. You might be carrying a mark. I've got so many stories. I tell some of the same ones over again because they're kind of my favorites. But I got tons of stories in this thing. We've done baptisms where we put the girls under. There was cutting was a craze in that culture. And all of a sudden, these girls are all getting saved and we're water baptizing them. And when they're coming out of the water, they're all checking their spots and they're screaming and crying because they have brand new skin. Why? They're brand new creatures. Old things pass away. All things become new. God doesn't judge you for where you've been. Then why is where you've been judging you? Are you with me? We're going to pray for you tonight. God's going to bring redemption into the room. Yeah? He's going to wash through people's bodies and through your blood. He's going to wash through some lungs. You could have just binged one night. You just went out on a tangent. You just were ramped up and you were just ticked or whatever. And you just did more than you ever did. And you drank a little more. You ingested a little more. And you never have been the same. And you know since that night, you don't have the same recollection. You don't have the same ability of concentration. You hurt your mind somehow on that binge. And you can mark that day. You know it was that binge. I almost feel like that's a word for somebody. And you've hurt your concentration and your mindset when you went over the edge. Does that make sense to somebody? Is somebody sitting here and they say, I believe that was me? Come here. God will make you brand new. Something changed? Yeah? Stretch your hands to her. Just show nothing but love for her. In Jesus' name, completely restored. As if you've never sinned or missed the mark or walked one step from your Father. Total concentration, total memory. This is your wife, right? Come up here and put your arm around her. She's so sweet. Yeah. You did good, buddy. You got a good, godly girl. Yeah, you know what I hear? You're a good, godly girl. Don't you live one day in regret. Don't you cry for yesterday's mistakes. You rejoice in today's truth. You've been made brand new. You've come to the Father through the Son. Your life is restored and you're brand new. There's nothing behind you. There's nothing back there. Don't you look back there. Don't you cry back there. Don't you muse back there. I have taken it away. I've given you a new day and I've given you a reason to rejoice. Don't you ever again cry wrong tears because I don't see you for where you've been. I see you for where I've brought you. Yes. And my, am I glad you've come. Yes. Yeah. Yes, Lord. A total restored mind. In Jesus' name. Love of God, come and redeem. Just hold her for a little bit. Just hug on her. That should be easy. If you hurt yourself, if you hurt your body, if you have something in your blood, if you damaged an organ in your mind, get up here and get up here quickly and don't sit and wait. When you get up here, what you're saying is, It's not who I am. It's not who I ever want to be. Just come on up and thank God he loves you. Some of you will feel like you want to cry. Don't cry wrong tears. Just get up here. Just come up here if that's you. I don't necessarily need to pray for everybody. The fact that you come up here is, it's just going to happen. I might touch you. I don't know. We'll see. Just get up here. Don't stay in your chair if that's you. Don't you carry the mark of yesterday. Don't you leave here with something that was. Be humble. Be bold. And get up here. Come on. Don't be ashamed. Don't say, I wonder what people will think. I don't want people to listen. We've all sinned and we've all fallen short of the glory of God. Some of us deserve a mark and never got one. Some of us did something over and over again and it never caught up with us. Some people make a mistake, get out of line, and bam, that thing bites them for keeps. There's no mercy out there, but there's mercy in God. Yeah? Do I have everybody? Come on, this is real. You don't want to miss this. Do I have everybody? I feel like I'm waiting on a couple folks. Don't sit in your chair if you need to be up here. If you're carrying the mark of something from yesterday, please get here quickly. Come on. I'm still just waiting. I feel to wait. Look, we got tons of people to pray for. We got plenty to pray for. Why would I be soliciting for more if this wasn't real? We could have prayed a long time ago. Get up here. Thank you. Thank you for coming. Thank you. Thank you. I'm going to ask you to do a couple things quickly. I need to ask you one question. You all pay attention and you answer this question in your heart. God knows your answer. It's good for your own conscience to know your answer. Knowing what you know today and growing the way you've grown, whatever that means and however that is for you, but knowing the person you are today and where you've come and what you've learned and understood, if you could go back and do some things different pertaining to why you're here, would that look different? If you could go back and change something, would you if you had the ability? Yeah? Now here's the good thing. If you say yes to that, what you're saying is, I'm not the same person I used to be. I've changed. It's a big deal. And God begins to judge you for where you've been, but for who you've become, not where you've been. Here's what I need you to do tonight. I need you, before we pray, to just believe this with all your heart, that God loves you standing right where you're at. That God doesn't judge you for where you've been. I honestly can assure you that he's pleased that you ran up here. Because what you're willing to say is that his love is greater than my mistakes. And whatever I've been carrying and marked in, he can make it all brand new because he paid a price to redeem my life. Are you hearing? So thank God right now, every one of you, from your heart, that he loves you. And just say it out loud. Whisper it softly. You don't have to say it out loud, loud. Just whisper it softly. Father, thank you for loving me. Watch. Thank you for forgiving me of everything I've ever done. Every place I've ever been that wasn't you. Thank you for making all things new. I don't usually do it this way, but this feels good with this group. I want you to do this together as a group in faith. Father, I'm never going back there. In action, in thought, even if it comes to my mind, I know it's not me. I'm going to rejoice that I'm free. Even if I remember that time and moment, I'm going to use it as a springboard to thank you that you've done nothing but love me. So I call it over and I call it done. It is not who I am and it's not who I'll be. Because your grace is greater. Thank you, Father, for loving me. Now, Father, I just pray for this whole group right now. Holy Spirit, I ask you to come as if we were literally all the leaders in this church surrounding them, laying hands on them. I just ask you to come and touch them very intimately, very personally, and just let redemption flow through every one of their lives and every one of their situations. That's right. Go right through them, Spirit of God, and make all things new. Take away every mark, every trace, every stain, every scar, every bit of damage, every bit of blood disease, every bit, God, everything. Take it all away in Jesus' name. Holy Spirit, thank you. Just begin to whisper out and believe that you're free. Thank you that I'm free. Thank you for loving me. Thank you for taking it all away. Thank you for changing me through and through. Redemption, come in this house and touch these people in Jesus' name. Yeah, touch your kids. Touch your kids. Yeah, that girl right there. Yep. Just touch her. I just felt like I needed to get through the crowd and get her. So you know you're good. Ethan's got her. Just in Jesus' name, be absolutely clean and free. Just lightly reach around, touch her real light on the forehead. There's just something sweet about that. Holy Spirit, come. Yeah, the love of the Father, redeem and restore. My, he values you. He accepts you. Yeah, begin to accept yourself a whole lot more and think more of yourself in the Lord. Because it's not about anything about yesterday. Young lady, God has been touching your heart. You have an ear for truth. I see that. You are not deaf to the truth. You can hear. And I hear the Lord saying, you be encouraged in the things you've heard and know that they're yours. They can be your story, your tomorrow, your destiny. Don't you ever give up. Don't you grow weary in well-doing. Don't you look back. Don't you go there. You look up and you come after me, says God. And I will meet you, and you and me will have the time of your life. Your life is so worth living, I hear the Lord saying. Your life is so worth living. Yeah. Holy Spirit, just keep moving and coming and touching and healing and restoring and making all things new. Take it all away, everything, God. It's not from you. Bless your kids. Bless them, God. Touch them, God. Do this with me. Just lift your hands to him, would you? And just say thank you. Father, we sure appreciate what you do. We sure appreciate you. Thank you. Thanks for wholeness. Blood of Jesus speaking better things. Yeah. In Jesus' name. Minds be restored and be clear. Bodies be whole. Blood be pure. Organs be whole. In Jesus' name. Hey, you guys out there sitting, stretch your hands to this group and just begin to bless them and pray over them and just man, go ahead and prophesy, and whatever God tells you, it'll all be before the throne. But pray like your best prayer over these guys, and that they'll run well, that they'll never look back, that there is a new day and it's found in him. Just begin to bless them. Yeah, thank you, Jesus. Man, would you guys do yourselves a big favor, like somebody near you, just give them a big hug. We all came up here together. Give them a big hug and rejoice together and thank God that he's doing a good thing in your lives. Go ahead, hug somebody. Rejoice with somebody. Just hug somebody. Rejoice with somebody. And thank God he's good. Shakararabakasa. Jesus' name. Yeah? Come here. Come here. Yeah. This is, yeah. In Jesus' name. Complete wholeness, God. Holy Spirit, thank you. Mark him good. Mark him good for your glory. Let him have eyes to see only you. God, mark him well. Man, I keep hearing that. He's marking you well. Yeah. Whew. Jesus' name. I hear Peter's words. Where else would I go? Amen. There ain't nobody with the words of life like you got, Jesus. You found a home. And I hear the Lord say, you are welcome to live here. Whew. Complete wholeness in your life, you'll see. Even this thing you came up for, resolved in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, guys, thank you. Love you. Why don't you run back to your chairs? Holy Spirit of the Lord. God, we worship you. Go ahead. You guys are there. They ain't going nowhere. You didn't respond to this altar call because it wasn't quite your situation, but you still have some physical stuff, and you have just a heart for asking for healing, and you have a desire to be prayed for something. Just stick your hand up real quick where you're at. We're going to do this. It'll be quick, but it won't be ineffective, I promise you. Just stick your hand up if you have a situation that requires healing, the healing presence of the Lord. Somebody sitting near somebody, grab their hand, just tap them, say, hey, I'm sitting with you. I'm going to believe with you right now when we pray. Get their hand. Make sure somebody makes contact. Make contact with them, please. Come on, we're the church. We're the body. We're believers. These signs follow those that were believers. Father, everybody that had the humility and faith to raise their hand, thank you for your healing grace. If you're touching them right now, just say, be healed in Jesus' name. Be made whole. No symptoms, no pain, no flashbacks, no reoccurrence. You leave and you never come back. Sickness, you go. Disease, you go. Degeneration, you go. In the authority of the name of Jesus, healing flow in everyone that's raised their hands. Father, thank you for your great love. I know it's your will. I know it's your good pleasure to give us the kingdom. I thank you this isn't presumptuous. I thank you you're doing a work right now. And what seems simple to some, you paid a price to make possible. God, thank you for loving your kids well. And thank you for making all things new. In Jesus' holy, holy name.